What we do here is go back.
Yeah, good mate. Thanks for having me.
The halfway up socks.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do them too high. You know,
fucking absolutely full.
When you're younger, you always have dreams and you always think, oh yeah, I want to play AFL. But realistically, like, especially when I started getting a bit older, I didn't actually think it was something that could come through.
Did you kick 0-11 a few years back at North Beach?
Yeah, I might have.
I need to get uncomfortable to be comfortable, and I think I need to be somewhere else to develop my football. Like, I just don't think I can stay here and grow as a player and grow as a person.
How many times have you watched yourself either hitting the winning runs or that last over?
Oh God, I think only about 300.
No, I actually re-looked at the story he was posted to look at his jersey number in case that was a question.
Really? So you did study?
Yes, well, that was the only thing.
Yeah, right. Do you want to go for another half an hour and give us the last question?
Yes, welcome back to the Bray and Ethan podcast for episode 108. And it's all, of course, thanks to Skinbro, Hat Locker and Cheetah Clothing. I've got the tee on, Ethan.
The white jazz.
Yep, I have it.
Same very nice. Air. Very, very clean.
Yep, and very nice fabric.
They're comfortable,
aren't they? Jack said he changed the manufacturer that he goes to. And I can tell you, this feels like a top-end quality tee.
And I did see they put a story up yesterday, I think it was. They're selling very fast, so you want to get onto them because there's not many left.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, yeah, Skinbro and Hat Locker, you can head to both of their stores for 20% off using code Bray and Ethan20. And of course, the Skinbro Essentials kit is only $54.99, which is, well, if you go back to 12 months ago, if you wanted almost everything, double. It was almost about $80-$90, so... Some nice little discount.
And as we say, if you use the discount code on top of that, then you do the maths and it's a lot less than that.
Exactly.
But back-to-back cricketers on. Josh Vernon is in the building, WA contracted bowler. Josh, how are we?
Yeah, good boys. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you on. Well, Dampier, born and bred. Tell us about your sport in the country regions of WA and then, I guess, coming through the state cricket pathway as a teenager.
Yeah, so... growing up in Dampier, it's just like sport mental. We played pretty much every sport we could, from like footy and cricket in the winter and summer to like swimming, mountain biking, t-ball. Like there was everything going on. So as a kid, like everyone would play every sport, which I think like makes you really enjoy like the essence of sport. And it's really like based around going out with your mates and just having fun on a weekend. But yeah, I think when I was probably like 16, decided to pursue cricket. Like I was playing a bit of footy at the time, bit of cricket. I think the last season of footy I had, I like did a knee, broke a hand, like, yeah, got knocked out in the semi-final or something. Like it was pretty mental. So I was like, no, I'm going to maybe stick to cricket for now.
I feel like that's a lot of ways probably people finish footy injuries or a finals loss or whatever it might be. I reckon our first Dampier product maybe since Zach Langdon on the show. I reckon he's from down that way. Any like sporting people you idolise down there from that region?
Yeah, I think Zach was probably like when I was growing up, I didn't see too much of him at the Sharks because that's who I played for, the Dampier Sharks, and who he sort of came up with. But definitely like hearing about him and when he went to GWS and like the hype around him, like sort of at the draft and like all of his stats and stuff and being obviously really quick and athletic. And I thought that was really impressive. But aside from that, we had Dean Cox.
Yes.
A fair while ago. One of my mates growing up was actually, she was his like second cousin or something. So he used to come up a little bit. We used to see him. He'd get around the footy club and the juniors, which was pretty cool. But aside from that, we haven't really had too many come out of there. I think the only other one that I watched a bit was Louis Upton, who played for... played Leaf for a while. He used to come back a fair bit and play league for us, but aside from that, not really.
Well, you're the next putting the the region on the mat. And then you come up to UWA in the recent years, staying up there. How did that sort of come about and also joining Midland Guildford?
So I don't really have any other family down here. I've got and my grandma, she's down south, but I just thought, look, it's going to be easy for me if I'm studying. I had a few mates there as well. I thought college life would be pretty good, especially because coming out of a town like Dampier, there's only 1,300 people. I thought coming to a community with like kids your age and like-minded people would be really good for me. So that was my main goal at the time. Like I had no idea I was going to get a contract. I didn't think for the next maybe 2 or 3 years I would have a sniff. So I was like, I'm just going to go down, focus on my studies. And yeah, ended up landing there. And then Midland, I had a link with Joe Angel. So he actually works at the same company as my old man up home, Rio Tinto. Yep. And Dad heard about him somewhere, I don't know how, and just like flicked him an email out of the blue and going, hey, my son, like he plays a bit of cricket. Is there any chance you could coach him? So every swing, Joe'd come up, we'd do a couple sessions, and found out he was the head bowling coach at Midland. So I sort of made that connection. When I started coming down, I was leaning towards Midland. But there was also a couple other country coaches that had ties with Midland. So that just like was a pretty good place for me to go, I thought.
It's pretty handy if you ask me.
Yeah. I feel like it was like a smooth process.
Yeah, it was. It was really good.
Have you always been a fast bowler? And I've heard some stories, but the speeds are pretty high on the clock.
Yeah, depends.
I've heard 140 plus.
I think, yeah, last year I got there. I think I got to like 142. But this year it's actually taken a backward step, but I was definitely spraying them less because, yeah, they used to go quick down a leg for four wides a fair bit last year. So, yeah, I think growing up, like, used to open the batting in juniors and then bowl. Our junior comp up home was, like, not well. So we used to only be able to bowl. We played T20s under lights. Mm. It was only under 14s and 16s. It was all on Astro. You could bowl two overs throughout the game. Mm. You faced 12 balls and you had to retire.
Yeah, that was the same down here.
Yeah, it was all the way through to 16s. So I used to just open the batting, like, swing at everything.
12
hope
balls.
Not to get out. Yeah, because then if
you know, was that not the same?
No, it was, but not up until, like, that long. Maybe, like, under 10.
For T20s it was. Because you were limited, but once we got to like under 15s, you could
that
face
probably
up
is
like
right.
50 balls.
It was just, it made cricket hard.
Yeah.
So yeah, just go open the batting and then I'd bowl my two overs in the first 10 and then take on the gloves and keep the last 10. Just try and get myself involved as much as possible. But yeah, I think fast bowling's always been like, I found that fun as a kid, especially in the backyard with a tape ball, like just trying to kill your mate in the backyard. Yeah. That's always what I enjoyed.
Well, 142, can't say I want to face that anytime soon. I think Bray might be on the same page there.
I was facing a bucket of balls in the nets last week with the bowling machine, and old friend of the podcast, Luca Vinning, he just decided to ramp the speed up to almost 100 mile an hour. Out of nowhere, I've just had a Yorker come at the speed of light. You could not see it at all until it got to me. And I was like, holy shit, how is that like test cricket level? International cricket level. That is crazy fast.
Yeah, I've never faced anything about like above 135. I don't plan on it anytime soon either.
It's crazy.
Now, you represented WA a couple of times at the National Under 19 Champs, including taking a fourfer the first time around. How'd you go on those champs? Both times?
I had a pretty good one 2 years ago. So I played a year young. It was in Adelaide. It was pretty flat. I normally would follow Marley first change downwind. It was nice coming, like, being able to follow him because normally we've already taken a couple wickets or, like, the run rate's really low. So it was a bit of a no-pressure situation. I had a bit of a dry one this last champs in Albury and it was tough. The wickets were low and slow. I thought we could have gone really far both times. We lost an unlosable game 2 years ago in Adelaide.
I heard about this.
Their 9 and 11 put on 80 runs in 7 overs, I think. We dropped them 4 times and missed a run out. And I was like, it was just one of those games. It just happens. Like, me and the Cade Povey, who was bowling from the other end, like, I actually thought we bowled quite well. Like, I was hitting Yorkers and I was getting flicked by the number, like, left-handed number 11. I was getting flicked over fine leg for 6. And I was like, what can you do? Like, I've missed by half an inch. Yeah. You just get them. So that, like, it's hard with tournament cricket when you play 6 games. Like, if you lose the wrong game, you're out. Like, with Vic Metro that time, we won 5 out of 6 games and came 5th. And I think they lost 2 in the rounds. So they would only won like 3 or something and came 3rd. Like, it's tough tournament cricket like that. And it was the same this time. I think we probably could have gone further than what we did. That's right.
And you mentioned Marley just then. We were talking when you got here. Feels like you two are going to be forever linked, just based on where you've been and that sort of thing.
Yeah, well,
can't separate you.
Yeah. It's a bit of a weird story. Like, yeah, I think my old man mentioned it to me the other day. Like, when we were kids, sort of, he spent, I think, 3 or 4 years in Dampier. So he was originally born in Dunsborough and lived in Quarum up Margaret River for a while, and then moved up and spent, yeah, 3 or 4 years with us. And he said, like, watching us in the backyard, like, that's just what you thought, like, was happening with every kid. And to be fair, it was. We were just, like, trying to kill each other pretty much and just loved playing cricket.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we sort of, like, our paths drifted a little bit when he moved down in year 7 and went to Aquinas and started playing PSA and grade cricket, and I stayed up home. And then, yeah, we sort of linked together for 19s again and then both managed to get a contract this year. So it's been a weird ride, but it's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah. And this is probably more a question for this time around, this year around with the championships, but do you feel more pressure to perform for WA19s when you do have a men's contract? One of the only few to have when some of the other guys don't. Is that play in your mind?
Yeah, it definitely does. And I think definitely for me this year, like, sometimes you're not going to be able to perform on the field at all times. Like, it's just not possible. So making sure that you're doing all the right things off the field as well was really important. And I think, like, looking back this year, my skills probably haven't improved. Like, they haven't taken massive steps to look what I thought they would, but off the field, like, sort of have. So, like I was saying, I had a pretty dry champs. Like, I only took a few wickets, I think. And Marley had a pretty good one, but it was, like, good to see that we could try and influence things off the field with, like, recovery and doing the right things. And we're really lucky. Our WA group, like, are very experienced. Most of us were underages from last year. And then we've got blokes that have been, like, Kai or went over to the East Coast in the pre-season with our men's squad for a few training camps. Obviously, Corey Wosley's involved in those 19s. Like, we had an experienced group that was good anyways.
Yeah.
That's sort of almost unheard of in a way, playing, like, underage championships while being signed to the, like, professional outfit, I guess. Like, if in an AFL world, that's just unheard of. I guess the only way you could compare that is, I guess, like, say Harley Reid, he knows he's going to get picked up,
yeah,
so he's got that pressure sort of thing. But there's no real sport like that. I know the AFLW had some signings, but that was obviously not after the champs, so it's kind of unheard of. Hey,
it is.
I guess there isn't a draft, which helps. But touring England just before the summer of the Australian 19s would have been pretty good fun. Long way from the Pilbara to some historic grounds over there.
Yeah, it was. It was, pretty eye-opening. They're so different over there. Like, it's just cricket mad. It's a scary thought. Like, blokes talk about playing in India and Pakistan, who are, like, triple, quadruple the amount of fans that England have. They're just absolute nuffies. And it's, like, yeah, like you said, it's very different to playing cricket in Dampier when you get, like, 4 people come to watch a game and it's either, like, siblings or folks or, like, you know, partners or whatever.
Yeah.
To go in and, yeah, playing over there. I don't think we actually had that many people come to the games, but the live streams got slammed. And it was probably, like, reading the chat at the end of the day, like, the live stream chat, it was mostly just, like, subcontinent supporters, like, going on about how good India's going to be in a couple of years, well, in our England versus Australian 19s game.
Yeah. And you guys played all forms of the game.
We missed the T20s in England. We played one when they came over.
Yeah.
We played the 2 4-dayers and 5 ODIs over there. So it was pretty packed in a couple warm-up games. Like, it was a good tour.
So what grounds did you guys play at?
Our practice games, we started in Leicester. So that's where we went first. And it was a bit of an eye-opening experience to England. Like, we walked into the first hotel and we had this, like, stereotypical Brexit, like, geezer, like, he's, like, come in.
The
and
key word there is geezer.
Geezer, he was like,
that is the biggest pommy sort of word ever.
We, like, walked into the hotel and they were under renos in the lobby.
Yeah.
And we were all trying to get through the elevators, and he's come down with his, like, missus and kid, and he was probably, must have been, like, 24, 25, 5'2" max. And he's like, we're obviously cricketers, like the fast bowlers are all standing together and we're all like tall enough.
Yeah.
And he's like, he absolutely went off at us. He was talking about how he was going to like wet us because we weren't making any room. He was like, the missus came back yelling at us. We're like, wow, like this cannot be England. That was just Leicester. Yeah. So we found out Leicester's probably not the nicest part. But we started there. Then we went down to Beckenham, which is like South London, Kent. It was actually cool because we got to spend a day in London, which was like we did all the touristy stuff. And then we played a few games in Sussex, Brighton on the south coast. That was like the nicest part. And that was actually really nice down there.
That was so nice.
On the Pebble Beach, like it was also a fair bit warmer, really flat ground, small ground, which sucked. And then we went up to Worcester, which was like older. There's a big cathedral next to the ground. The ground's actually underwater in the winter, like the river there floods. So the whole ground and like this half the stadium is underwater. So it was a bit of a weird place to play.
Was it really dirty?
Actually the country itself was. Worcester was nice. It's like I didn't believe it until someone showed me photos of literally the ground and the seats are like the first two rows like underwater.
Yeah,
I don't know how they play cricket in the summer when it like floods during the winter. Yeah. So that was quite odd. And then we finished up in Northamptonshire, Northants, which was also a bit haggle. Nice ground, but we didn't go out too much after dusk.
Yeah, well, the conditions were, you only have to look at the photos of you guys playing in the vests, the like, what are they called?
Like the knitted.
To realise some of the conditions over
sweater.
There. I mean, I know test players do it here as well, but yeah.
If you're wearing it, it must be cold.
Yeah.
They do warm up very quickly.
Mm. Yeah, they're thick. So yeah.
Is it hard not being over in South Africa at the moment in the World Cup, considering you've had so much to do with that group?
Yeah, I sat down and watched the game the other night against Namibia, and it's tough not being over there. I think I sort of, my lead up wasn't great. I did my knee sort of again. I did something in January last year, just before I went to the first 19s, and then it arced back up in England, and then I was good. And then just before our WA champs, I did it again. I've got like a weird hereditary thing in my knee with like fat caps and bursas and stuff. So I only just made it through to our 19s champs. Like I had to do a fitness test 2 days before and then had a bad champs and then got the call and the selector was like, yeah, look, we've decided to leave you out based on a few things. And to be honest, like I didn't have a great lead up. The couple, probably month and a half before, like I was struggling with a bit of form. And the injury didn't help. So I was like, definitely jealous, but it's also good because I hadn't really missed a bigger selection like that for a little bit, like with the last two Oz tours. So it's actually been really good for like my resilience, I think. And at the start, I remember when Woz and Marley left, I was like, go well, boys, like I'll be keeping along with it. Like I'll be watching you. I was like, no chance I'm going to watch her. But no, I was actually really good and I'm really excited to see how they go. I think they've got a great chance to take it really deep.
There's some big raps from some of those boys. I think, is it Dixon?
Yeah, Harry Dixon.
I think he's like touted as just like a future superstar.
Yeah, no, definitely. He's like seriously impressive. A very like Davey Warner sort of batsman. Like will just swing at everything and connects most of the time.
And I don't know if it's just because I've been paying a little bit more attention to it in the last probably 3-4 years. But is there more underage tours happening nowadays than there was, say, before COVID?
Yeah, I got...
Because I swear it used to just be the World Cup, and then now, like, you guys are going over to England, they're coming over here and whatnot, so I swear more of it's happening.
Yeah, I got really, really lucky, actually, like, that I fit into the bracket. Because before we played the first tour when England came over, I think it had been, like, 4 years. There was obviously a World Cup in between. Like, there's a World Cup every 2 years.
Yeah.
But the last time was when I think we sent a group to New Zealand over.
Yeah, one or the other.
I think it was the year before, like, Tanvir Sanger. I think that was the last time there'd been, like, a tour that wasn't a World Cup. And we managed to get two, which was pretty cool. Yeah. But then, like, there's blokes like Joel Davies, Will Saltzman, Liam Blackford, who got to play against England the first time but missed out on a World Cup. Like, unfortunate like that, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
Pretty lucky. The men's WA contract. What was the initial emotion when you found that out? And did you see it coming? Was there any hints?
Yeah, I had absolutely no idea. Like, I didn't think I was going to get one for another 2 or 3 years. Like, I didn't even think I was going to have a sniff for another a couple of years. I remember I was like, that day I was actually making my resume on my laptop and I was like scouting out all the coffee places and like bars and stuff I could apply to around college. And I like saw my phone ring, didn't recognize the number because I hadn't met Cade Harvey, who's our list manager. Like, I'd never met him or talked to him, and then saw the message and I was like, took a few minutes. I didn't want to like call him back straight away. Mm. Like, just after he'd flicked me a message, I was like, don't get your hopes up, Vern. Like, it's not going to happen. He's just going to ask, you know, how your series was and stuff. And it actually took him ages on the call to tell me. Like, there was a lot of fluff and like chat that was just useless. And he said, at the end, he pretty much said, yeah, don't bother. Like, you can pretty much delete your resume now if you want, because we need your contract. And I was like, yeah, right. I thought there was no chance. I thought there was at least 7 or 8 other blokes in front of me, like, that were pushing for one. So, yeah, it's been a wild ride from that, like, learning about professional cricket, like, coming from a place like Dampier where you rock up half an hour before the game.
The toss is being done as you rock up.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, there's no warm-ups. To, like, being a professional athlete, it's been, it's flipped on its head, but it's really exciting and something I really enjoy is being able to develop like that.
Did they announce that, like, how long before did they announce that to you before they, like, made it public?
It's a great question. I think I knew like mid-April.
Yeah.
And then I actually signed the contract on my 18th birthday, which is pretty cool. It was when they got me to come in so that was like early May. Yeah. And then I think the squad like announcement came out probably a month later. So I heard from Marley. He sent me a text like, because I didn't know that he got one either. He's like, oh, I heard whispers like you got one as well. And I was like, yeah, so it was pretty cool for that. But I had to keep it under wraps.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably wouldn't be able to tell like people other than your family, maybe.
Yeah, like I told my family. I had a couple people in the room when it actually happened, and I was like, had on speakers, like just in case.
Yeah.
Someone else can like hear this conversation. So my best mate was in there, so he knew. But aside from that, it was like my immediate family. I had my now agent, Nick Allen. He found out about it. So in that month between when I'd signed and when it came out, like he was sort of, like I hadn't signed with him yet, but we were working through that sort of thing. So there was literally probably like 5 or 6 people that knew, which was, pretty cool.
Unfortunately, you still don't have a photo on the Wacker website under the men's squad.
Yeah, it's poor. Miss Media Day, I think.
Oh, you missed it. Okay.
But yeah, how's it been training though, being up close with some of the best players in the country every day, and even in the Scorchers Academy, have you tried to sort of learn off anyone specifically?
Oh yeah, like everyone's got little like nuggets of wisdom, which is amazing. That's something I've taken upon myself this year, is just to be really curious and ask questions. There's a few blokes that are really good. I think Corey Rocciacholi is one of them. Like he's regularly like sits in with me, like asks to go out for a coffee or something and make sure that I'm ticking along. But all of the quicks, the WAC is pretty good. In our pre-season, when we'd have our net sessions, they'd normally pair like some of the younger guys with some of the older guys. So you got 2 people bowling in a net, like it'd be me and AJ or Dorf or something, like so that we can actually sit there and ask them questions and, you know, how do you do this? And that's especially important with the Scorchers Academy stuff. Whenever we were lucky enough to have someone from the main squad come back, like we had Liam Haskett trained with us for a while, Matt Kelly was with us quite a bit. So that white ball side is like so experimental nowadays. Like there's always new things happening, people doing new things, playing tricks. Like it's really important for us to stay ahead of the game. I guess like we've been fortunate with the Scorchers that our bowling attack's really good. And we've got a lot of Australian reps because of that, like we're staying ahead of the game. It's really important for us coming through that we can try and do that as well. So yeah, they've been awesome, like just asking questions, and I've never had someone say no, like no, I won't meet up for coffee, or no, I'm not going to tell you, like this is how I go about my business, which is awesome. Like great culture in the group.
Yeah, because so you haven't felt like there was no point you felt like you didn't belong or anything, like everyone's been pretty welcoming, because like I'd imagine as a young player, like you got, as I said, some of the best players in the country. Some people might, when they're first there, be like, I don't belong here, or be a bit uncomfortable, but it sounds like they're just normal blokes.
Yeah. And I guess something here about like footy stories and draft stories, like I was worried for that, especially because I hadn't I played like half a season of first grade cricket. Like no one really knew me. But they were really good. I think the first month, maybe I felt like that, but that was just intrinsic. Like that was just myself. That wasn't backed by anyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, the group was so welcoming. It was really, really good to like be able to fit in straight away.
Now that you're a professional cricketer, what's your day-to-day schedule look like? Or I guess away from cricket, in cricket, but I guess you live and breathe it now.
Yeah, it sort of depends. Like pre-seasons, you've probably got more contact hours in the pre-season because you always got a gym or...
And contact hours is hours at the club.
Yeah, like at the WACA or at training.
Well, yeah, at the WACA, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so like you've got a gym probably 3 or 4 times a week. And you've got to, once the right time comes around, start doing some low-load bowling. We do a fair bit of running, fielding stuff throughout the pre-season. And then in season, it depends, like, with our if our main squad's away, our training will look a bit different to when they're back and there's a full squad that you can train with. But also, like, if I'm away, like, say, going to England, like, that messes up probably a week and a half, 2 weeks before and after because you've got to get a deload in before and after a tour. Same thing with second 11, stuff like that. So it sort of changes, but in season normally it's Monday you come in the morning and do monitoring. So you like get your height, weight. They do some like testing, like muscle testing and stuff to see how you pulled up from the weekend. Tuesday you'll have a big bowling day. Wednesday is normally day off. Thursday you'll have another big session. Friday's optional top-up hits, which I tend to go into every time because my batting needs some serious work. And then Saturdays for me, club cricket. Sometimes you play like a Saturday, Sunday game, but not often. So not just Saturday, and then Sunday's rehab in your own time.
Yeah. So like I think that's pretty, not a lot of people realize like what it's like. Cause obviously footy, it's probably you hear like, you know, more what it's like, but cricket, like it's not really, I reckon there's a lot of people out there who actually wonder what you guys do like during the week. Like, it's not something.
Schedule's on off. Sometimes you're playing, you know, a four day game.
And that's the difference with footy as well. Cause you know, footy, like you're playing, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yep. Yeah.
Like all you have to sort of base it around is, am I playing like a night game or am I playing Sunday morning? Like,
am I playing in the ones or the twos?
Yeah. Whereas like with like the Big Bash, they play pretty much every day of the week. Like there's a game on.
Yeah, every 3 days or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Footy's a lot more behind the scenes. You see a lot more like on social media and that.
Yeah, cricket, definitely.
Obviously, it's probably not at that stage yet, but obviously, and you've played a bit of second 11 cricket for WA this summer. Has that given you a taste of what first class cricket, shield cricket could be like?
Yeah, absolutely. I fortunate enough to make my debut in Adelaide against SA. Our bowling attack was like, we had Joel Parris coming back, Jai Richardson, Sam Greer, who's been in around the squads, Hamish McKenzie, Darcy Short. Like, I had so many blokes there that have played a lot of cricket and a lot of international cricket. So just being able to sit like in the dugouts with them and ask them questions and like pick their brains has been unreal. And then getting to play my second game at the WACA against ACT, like, there's no better place to play cricket, especially second 11 cricket in Australia, I don't think.
I saw that the other day when I was looking at the scores for the game that's currently on now, and I just saw ACT and I was like, what the hell? Like, what are they made of? Like, are they made of just like first grade players from
there's the ACT actually area? Yeah, I think so. There's also a couple, like, they get these invitational people in.
Right.
Which is, I didn't quite understand until we played them. So there was like, some bloke walked out, like ACT's, obviously their funding and resources isn't as good as the other states. So some bloke walked out with like Queensland cricket whites on, like his bottom half. And I was like, what? It's one of their fast bowlers, like their opening fast bowler. And they're like, yeah, he plays great cricket in Queensland. Yeah. But he used to play for ACT, so they can like they get 2 invitational picks that they can bring back.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a bit interesting. Yeah. A bit random.
I know the women's program looks like it runs decently because that's been a thing for a while.
Yeah,
it
was
the first time I've ever seen an ACT men's side.
Yeah, they only play second 11. I think sometimes they're in and out. Like they play 19s.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, they didn't have a 19 side. They just played as New South Country, like they mixed in. Yeah, sometimes they do that as well.
And we were saying off air before that second 11 cricket, it's a bit all over the place. It's not actually like a competition. You were saying when you played, I think you said Henry Thorne just left like mid game and that sort of thing. And you can play, what was it, 48 players technically in the same game?
I think theoretically, like, because blokes have state like priorities, a couple blokes had to come and go that first game. So I think theoretically you could play 48. Like you could pretty much play a different side.
Every day.
Yeah. And I was saying like WA's only got four games, whereas every other state's got six. So I can't understand how they'd make like a genuine ladder and series out of that when we're playing two
games.
Well,
if you go on the MyCricket app, I went in the standings section the other day and it just came up with saying no data available.
Yeah.
So like there's no, absolutely no ladder. It's just
it's just for form and guys prove themselves.
Yeah, like come back through the, especially coming out of injury and stuff as well.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, obviously both one day and Shield teams are pretty hard to break into at the moment with the depth, I guess, the squad has at the moment. So what are the goals, I guess, for the rest of the summer, whether that's, I guess, WA or Midland Guildford pushing for finals?
Yeah, I think my main goal is to just, like, a baseline, get my body through the rest of the year. It's been a massive difference for me, I've found, like, from playing cricket in the Pilbara, a little bit at Midland, to, like, being a professional athlete, like, the toll that has on your body and your mind as well. So I'm just trying to get my body through the end of the season as best as I can. But aside from that, it's actually for myself and a few of the other blokes like Marley and Sam Greer, it's actually lucky that we're really good because we've got quite a few blokes playing for Australia, especially this new, like this next series coming up, the ODI series. I think we were meant to have five people out before Richo did his side. So that actually gives us good opportunity to get in around the squad and, you know, feel like you're pushing selection. Even if you're not, it's always nice to, like, feel like you're pushing for something. You might be further away. You think you might be closer than you think. You never know. And it only takes, like, someone to have a niggle or someone to have COVID or be sick to, like, get called up to a squad.
Yeah.
I'm just, like, trying to let that sort of take care of itself or focus on my body and how I'm training and stuff. And if that happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Like,
yeah.
I'm pretty lucky with that. But aside from Midland, we just got knocked out of the one-day final opportunities last week. But we're in a good spot for two-day finals. So that's sort of what we're pushing for now.
Yeah. And I'm assuming you played in the T20 flag?
I actually didn't. Me and another kid, Jordan Rhodes, were at our 19s nationals when that happened.
Okay.
So we played the two finals, like the
semi-finals.
Yeah, the semi and the one before the qualifier or whatever. And yeah, like Jordan actually sort of saved us. Like if we didn't have him, we would not have been playing finals. And then he had to come to WA stuff. So we were like stayed up all night because of the time difference. Like it's under lights at the Wacker.
6 o'clock start, I think. It was,
yeah, like we had a game the next day, me and Jordan, when we were both playing. And we like sitting there at 9 o'clock, like the first ball's bobbed. We're like, oh no, this is going to take a while. But we started the whole, like we watched.
Yeah.
So it was really exciting to see that and gave us a fair bit of fire as well, especially like going through the group chat and seeing all the messages and stuff from like ex-players and like that was really cool and a big thing for our club as well.
Yeah. And like that Willerton side that played was a pretty decent side as well. You know, got two Big Bash players who are in some decent form this Big Bash, Bancroft and Short, and you guys knocked them over, which was pretty impressive. Yeah. I know you weren't there, but pretty impressive.
So much, it's just crazy how much cricket there is, eh? Like,
yeah, it's non-stop.
Like, obviously the scorch has ended. There's probably no time to like really dwell. Like, you got a lot of guys not playing 2 days later. Like Sam Fanning, for example, makes his debut for the Scorchers on the Monday. He's playing at Scotch. Like, it's just crazy. Yeah. Like, it's probably good. Like, obviously helps you if you lose, you move on, and like constantly have
because
you guys focus on. Especially you being a professional player, and there's not a heap of second 11 games. You're probably training more than you are playing at the moment.
Like, yeah, definitely. You're
playing one, maybe 2 days a week at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. And our 2 days, like for club, are split over two weekends most of the time anyway. So,
All right, well, I think it might be time for the Instagram Q&As.
Yep.
We'll start off with Luke. I'm assuming it's Filson. It's spelled PH1LL1SON. And it just says, Northern Camps, ?
Yeah, so I think that was like the second cricket camp I ever had. So I came, the way you go through country cricket is you start at Country Week, where all of the different regions come to Perth in January. And like, I think there's like 3 or 4 grades and I play cricket and then you're scouted from there. And the first one I ever made, like the next step was a camp in Northern. And I think there was like 40 blokes that went to it. And I always say, like, my favourite trips I've ever done have been those country ones. Like, even after I've been fortunate enough to go, like, internationally and, like, with second level, like, honestly, under 16's country week and, like, those, like, country pathway ones have been my favourite because it's purely, like, just your mates from the country playing cricket.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they were awesome. I really loved
it. It'd be a bit of a laid-back environment as well. Like, you know, going to England, that's a bit of a professional environment. Yeah. So this is just, like, you know, more laid-back, have some fun.
Yeah, it was really good. I'd never really played on turf as well until that point, and all these carnivals were on turf, and I was like, you just froth at the mouth coming into it. It was pretty cool.
Max Bittner, ask him how much he enjoyed his 50 celebration last round.
Yeah, got to raise a bat for the first time in
all the hard work going on those optional Fridays.
So exactly right. I think the first time in like 3 years. I don't really get much opportunity with the stick anymore, and I was coming back in the twos from like injury, and got to bat with me and Max put on like 120 or something on that day. It was like 45 at like in the middle.
Wow, hot.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm fortunate to have my family down, so. Yeah. Gave one to the boys and then gave one to the family because I often had to come see it. So, yeah, a bit of carry on, that's right.
Cooper C. Deering, I believe it is. Who's the hardest batsman to bowl to at Bunbury Grammar School?
I'd have to say that Cooper C. Deering bloke, he goes all right. again, that was like those country carnivals. So, Dero plays first grade for Rocky Mandra now and I played the whole way through with him. And I think like he's played a bit of country men's championships. Like they go over and do the same thing of like our junior under 19s champs. They just do a senior country men's. They was in Albury Wodonga this year, so same place we were. But it's just like Queensland country, New South country, SA country. Yeah. Like they all go and play together. Dero, he's pretty good. Like he can play.
Jack underscore Beck 16, best golfer you know.
That's actually a tough question. If I'm giving you my honest answer, it's probably my old man, and I hate to say that because it gets really competitive. and I, especially lately, I suck, and he's all over me. But it's like a massive part of cricket culture I've sort of discovered. Like I played up home for maybe a year, and I was just like, play golf. And I came down, I was like, everyone plays golf.
Yeah.
And it's like... For a while there, it was good to get your mind off cricket. And then I sort of like played for probably 3 years. I started to get all right. And it stopped going from just going out hitting a ball to like actually trying to go low and keep cutting on my handicap. So then it just got more stressful. So I'm like, I'm in a bit of a love-hate relationship with golf at the moment.
That's the way that sport is.
Yeah.
I guess you see every batsman that gets injured these days in professional cricket environments.
It's all golf related.
Which is nuts. I'm struggling here. Seb Tokas.
Tokas.
Have you got a favourite wicket? Someone you got out? Which major week? Look at the major week.
I don't know. I think maybe my first one in my first game for Australia. That was pretty cool. I was shitting bricks. Like, I never really get nervous to bowl because I feel like as a bowler, you're sort of in control. Like, the batsman can only react to what you do. And I got mega yips this day. Like, I was sliding on the crease. I think I bowled like a beam ball that almost hit a bloke in the ribs. And I was like, so scared. And then, like, a couple of balls later, this bloke, Ben McKinney, who actually just like, he's captaining England at the 19s at the moment, absolutely punched me, like, threw mid on for four. And I've gone, bowled the exact same ball, came out of the hand, and I was like, oh, it's going again. Like, it's going to be like a 12-run over. And he just nicked off and, had a bit of a tough selly with that one. down the wicket. Probably didn't deserve it, but it's all right.
Max Barnett 09, what was school like?
Yeah, actually, it's a good question because I sort of was tossing up between coming down to a school in Perth for a while. My old man boarded as well. He was originally from Quereting, like out near Northam. And he wasn't a massive fan of it, I don't think. So I was sort of tossed up whether or not I wanted to come down. And we sort of decided, as a fast bowler, you generally, like, put yourself together a bit later, like, mature a bit later. Yeah. And I absolutely love the lifestyle in Dampier, like, fishing, diving, like all that stuff. I used to pretty much any chance I could, I was going out like fishing or diving with mates. And I thought, like, while I have the opportunity to still be here and go to school here, like, why would I not? Especially when I know, like, I'm probably not going to develop for a while anyways. My body's not there. So I decided to stay and do school at St. Luke's College in Karratha, and I really enjoyed it.
Speaking of Karratha.
Josh_JH7X, Karratha Cats or Dampier Sharks?
Yeah, that's a very, very easy answer. Dampier Sharks. Triple-double last year. We beat the Cats 3 times in a row. Thanks for coming.
Jeez. What a weird name, the Cats with a K.
Yeah, with a K, Karratha. Yeah. Yeah. So that says everything you need to know about
I'm assuming that's the same name for like the whole club, all sports.
Yeah, they've got a Karratha Cats cricket team, which they might have. Oh no, they didn't fold. They almost folded.
Dampier would be same for all sports.
Yeah, the cricket team's the Dampier Taverners, who I started playing with, but I left after a couple of years. Okay. But it's Sharkers all the way.
Your agent Nick Allen. Has he improved his golf since I wiped the floor with him?
Yeah, that was a rough day. That was actually really bad. We played at Seaview. It was the first time I played with him, and I was like, oh, I haven't picked up the clubs in like 3 months. And I think I was actually playing off like 11 or 12 at the time.
Not bad.
But it had been a while. And from then, the handicap has absolutely skyrocketed. Like, it's going up rapid. I was quite nervous because I didn't really know him too well then. And I was like, oh, he plays golf. Like, he's probably really good. And then, yeah, we actually ended up, we were a bit closer than wiping the floor, I think. But, yeah, I think he got me in the end.
How is Seaview to play? I've never played there. Always wanted to.
Yeah, it's nice. It's just like a 9-hole stretch. It's also pretty close. Like, I guess
it's short, isn't it?
Yeah, it is pretty short. And my, like, normally
difficult with the wind?
Early mornings, no. But, yeah.
Afternoon it would be.
The sea breeze. There's this hole, I think it's probably maybe 6.
Mm.
And it's, like, goes down the stretch, like, next to the road, like, say you're driving from, like, Swanbourne to Cot. I don't know what that road's called.
Yeah.
And it's, like, my power fade /slice right is, like, so dangerous. But you got the, like, doctor coming in, pushing my ball back towards the fairway, which is massive help. Because I'm sure, like, I don't know how anyone hasn't died along that road getting hit by, like, a golf ball in their car.
Yeah, there's a couple of them around Perth.
Yeah.
There's a couple of those roads. Joey_Kelly, what's the best thing since moving down from Perth? Have to say me.
Yeah, he's my best mate. I spend a fair bit of time with Kels. He's it's actually good like that, I think, having mates down here that are in cricket, but understand like sporting isn't everything, especially up home. Like, there's so much sport going on. So having, like, I had a few good mates through cricket down here that were like, cricket's a part of your life. You're not cricket, you know, identifying yourself as like, you know, I'm Josh Vernon. I'm not the cricketer. Like, I've got other things. So it's really important having good mates like that, that are happy to go for a coffee, like go to the beach, play golf, do all that sort of thing and not just have cricket. So the group of mates that I've come down and met through cricket that understand like cricket and everything's been really good.
Especially when it's your job as well.
Yeah.
But be absorbed in it.
All right, we'll move on to the quiz now. We've got the one par score so far for 2024, Hamish McKenzie last week with a solid 10 out of a possible 14. It was going very well early, but then I crumbled a little bit in the middle and then picked up a nice 5-pointer at the end.
May have been a bit easy, that last question we gave him, but that's all right.
10's basically a par score, so you take the par. Question number one. Name how many wickets you've taken across all grades this season from 18 games.
Not many. Across all grades this season. I don't know. I mean, I hope like at least 20, maybe like 22.
14.
Oh, shoot. That's not well. Do you know how many games I've played actually? Was that in there?
From 18 games.
Sorry, from 18 games. Yeah, no, that's not well.
That would be just what, Midlands and second 11?
I think so.
And
champs, maybe.
Yeah, champs, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it had,
Maybe it did. I don't know.
Maybe it didn't have the England. I don't know.
No, yeah, I think it only has, if it's an international game, it doesn't count it. So it does everything else.
Yeah.
Number two, your highest ever score, according to My Cricket, is the same number as the amount of runs you were hit for in your best ever bowling figures. What is the number?
69.
Correct.
And then, well, that was last week? Or the week before, whatever it was?
No, you made 57 the other week.
Yeah, I think that was, 5 for 69.
How many poles with, the bowling?
Yeah.
So first and only fifer you've got?
Yeah, I've only ever taken two. One of them was in a warm-up game for Australia.
So not official.
Yeah, that one wasn't stats, official. And then that one was that first series. And I think I literally got that last wicket in like a 10-ball over, I think, and leaked runs as well. So
we're on the board with a point.
One from two. Question number three. Do you have a higher batting or bowling average over your entire play cricket career? And this would be just
Is higher, not better.
Yeah.
So, because obviously that you want, as a bowler, you want
it. Honestly, probably is bowling, because I think I have a lot of, like, batting down the order, you get a lot of not outs.
Exactly. Well, bowling is correct. Yeah. So higher, you're going at 20.43. Batting is 19.29.
Two from three. Question number four. You've batted six times against England's under-19s team. How many of these did you remain not out in out of six?
How many times did I remain not out? I think I want to say, ran myself out like the last session of a day.
Yeah.
How else have I been out? LB, Plum, Golden Duck. Another LB. Left one on my pads. I want to say, out of six, I want to say three.
Correct.
Yeah, it's good. It's half not out.
Three from four, as we've got not much time left in the studio. We'll quickly fly through. Question number five. Your fifer against Vic Country at the end of 2023 came off how many overs?
2022.
Oh, sorry.
Oh. How many overs did you bowl?
Stab in the dark. Eight.
Correct.
Four for five. We're on a roll. Fine. Question number six.
Number six. Where do Midland Guildford's ones currently sit on the overall ladder?
Oh, overall. I was looking at this yesterday. Overall. Fifth.
Four
from six.
Yes. Question number seven. How many catches have you taken from your 18 games this season?
Yeah, another stab in the dark. From 18? I reckon it's like eight, seven?
It's four, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
Apparently.
I think there's been a couple going to some wrong names there.
Yeah. Blame the scores.
Yeah, blame the scores.
Four from seven.
Question number eight. True or false? Four is also the same amount of fours you hit in your 57 against Mount Lawley this year. True or false?
True.
Correct.
Five from eight.
That's actually a lot of hard running between the wickets.
A lot of threes that day between me and Max. And like I was saying before, he played on the same day. It was like so hot. It was like 45 in the middle at Lilac.
It was nuts. Lilac is probably the hottest ground in WA, or not in WA, but in the Perth metro area when it comes to cricket grounds in heat. Question number nine. You're one of the four ins to the WA contract list for 23-24. How many outs were there from the previous year?
Two. David Moody, delisted, Shaun Marsh, retired.
Correct.
Yep.
So is that six or seven? I think that's six now.
Six.
Last question.
For 5 points. If you get it bang on, 4 points within three, 3 points within five, 2 points within seven, and a point for anything outside of that. According to Play Cricket, how many teams have you played for ever? Now, taking into consideration whether it will count Australia or not, because I don't think it counts internationally.
No, I think it might.
Actually, no, it will, because the home games. Because
you can go on the Cricket Australia thing on My Cricket.
I think you're right.
Have the under 19.
Yeah, it does actually.
But it won't if it's overseas.
Yeah. So how many different sides ever?
Wow, ever.
So we'll probably count Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna. It'll take me too long to count. I think. Wow, ever, because they count every one of those country like stepping stones is like a different team.
Yep.
So I'm gonna say like, and then fours, threes, twos, ones. Jeez, I don't know. 14.
Very close.
We'll give you
2 points. Three points.
No, 4 points.
What'd you say? 14.
I think so.
Oh yeah, no,
it's 11.
It's 11. Yeah.
Wow, that saved me that last one. What was it?
It was 11 teams.
Oh, sorry, it was 11.
Yeah,
I'm up to 11.
So good guess that would though. How many points? I've lost count.
10, I think. I was on 6 with 4.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah, equal with Hamish.
Another pass score. You'll take that.
Yeah, save me that last one.
Well, of course, thanks to Skinbro, Hat Locker and Cheetah Clothing. Of course, the links to their online stores will be found in the show notes on YouTube and Spotify and everything, I assume.
They will be.
And of course, the discount codes as well. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can, of course, head to YouTube and vice versa. Remember to subscribe, give a 5-star rating. We've got to get out of here because we've gone a little bit over time. But Josh, thanks so much for your time. Good luck for the rest of the season and go well.
Cheers, boys. Thanks for having me. It was fun.